It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Te mare, Rachel. I'm good, thank you very much, and pleased we got a little bit of rain yesterday.
Yes, good to see.
And more coming next week, we hope.
The gardens and I'm sure our water supplies will be appreciating that.
Yeah, it was pretty light, but every little bit helps, and it also takes pressure off the lakes, because people aren't out watering their gardens if they've had a decent shower. Mm-hmm. So let's hope that we can properly break the drought and get through it without having to impose any mandatory restrictions, which has been the case to date.
Exactly. Well, another ongoing topic that we've definitely talked to you about a lot, and I'm sure continue to talk to you about, is coronavirus. So let's start with this, get a bit of an update on what's going on at the moment. Of course, we've seen some big changes overnight in terms of how it's affecting, I guess, the stock market around the world. But if we look a little bit, I guess, closer to home, how are you seeing businesses in Auckland affected by this, Phil? And what would you like to see, I guess, from the government in terms of supporting local business?
Yeah, the focus has shifted to include the economic impact of coronavirus, though our focus is still, very much on doing the best we can to contain the the illness. And so far the number hasn't changed from 5 positive tests for coronavirus, with I think one of those people due to be discharged from hospital reasonably soon, and another probable case being a woman that was on the Ocean Princess off San Francisco. So we need to keep those efforts up, and part of those efforts are, of course, to restrict travel from places like China and Iran, and people from North Italy and Iran to be in self-isolation. But we knew, both in terms of our restrictions on students and on travel, mm-hmm. that would have an economic impact. But the broader economic impact then widens to include problems with supply chain, because China closed down a lot of its industry for an extended spring festival period, although it wasn't a festival, of course.
No.
And I've seen estimates that as few as maybe 40% of people were back at work in China as of last week. Other estimates are higher than that. So that was starting to have an impact, and the stuff that we would normally have sent to China was hurting. But now we've got a double whammy, which actually becomes a triple whammy. The drought is the first aspect.
Mm.
But now, because of the lower travel and the lower industrial output at the moment, and a big dispute between the Saudi Arabians and the Russians, you've seen oil prices fall through the floor. They're down to, I think, $36 a barrel. Well, mm-hmm. sometimes they're up around 60. A 30% fall in the last 24 hours. Now, normally we'd say, hey, that's a great thing, but that in turn then has an impact on the stock market. And what we've seen on Wall Street today is probably the biggest fall in the last decade. The fall in the Dow Jones and S&P and others have been, hovering now, I think, around the 6 to 8%, actually, is probably the safest thing to say. And it would be highly unlikely if we weren't to see some impact on our stock market today.
Right.
And we saw a bit yesterday. So all of those things start to have an economic impact on, it's a global phenomenon. And the predictions that we may go at least temporarily into recession have moved from it's a possibility, to a lot of people saying, well, it's now, becoming a probability. And so what are we looking for from government? Well, the government's obviously looking at some countermeasures to stimulate the economy.
Mm-hmm.
They've removed things like the stand down for the dole. They're talking about wage subsidies in highly affected industries. And I think those are the sort of things that we need to see. And I'm probably alongside the chief executive of the Chamber of Commerce in Auckland, and saying, hey, you know, you don't have to stop going out to restaurants. We're not at the situation yet where we need the sort of drastic constraints that have been applied, for example, in North Italy. We are still containing the disease. So we had the Round the Bays last Saturday, and that didn't, you know, that wasn't cancelled because of fears. We've got Pacifica coming up, and that likely won't be cancelled unless we had a dramatically worse situation occurring. But, you know, I feel for all the restaurateurs and the places that, you know, that they're getting, you know, maybe 50, 60% of their normal patronage, and that's starting to have an effect on people thinking about laying off staff.
How can we support, or how can the government or the council support businesses that don't necessarily have big backstops, they won't have huge insurance plans, people who are running, you know, very small businesses, things like tax holidays and stuff like that aren't necessarily going to help them? What's a way that they can be supported through this?
Well, there's a range of things. They've started at the end of looking at wage subsidies, as I mentioned, and that may be helpful. Hong Kong has gone to the other extreme, you know, obviously dramatically affected by coronavirus and also the protests there of putting $1,000 in everybody's bank account. And I've talked around my office with that, and people said, yeah, we quite like that. and you know, it sounds a bit way out, but, you know, if things continue to get dramatically worse internationally, that's the sort of thing that you'd look at. I think what the government wants to do is to try to keep the economy ticking over, because something like coronavirus runs a cycle. And, you know, we've seen it in SARS, we've seen it with H1N1. And when it finishes, there's a sudden surge of demand for all the things that are pent up that people haven't been buying, services and goods. And you don't want to have multiple businesses going out of business, and then you know, there being a vacuum when it comes to meeting the demand that will occur once we get through to the inevitable end of this coronavirus cycle. So I think they want to keep the economy ticking over. The big boost in investment spending was part of that, not related as much as to coronavirus as the overall downturn in the world economy. So, you know, I think that they need to look at, and will be looking at, counter-cyclical measures just to keep more people in working and not grinding the economy to a halt.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a different topic now, the Auckland Council's urban design team. And there has been a lot of talk about this is going to be disbanded. So the Auckland Design Office, which has been, I guess, the brains behind a lot of the changes we've seen to downtown and suburban centres around the city, making it more people friendly, making it more like foot pedestrian focused, and more sort of thoughts about, you know, alternative methods of transport and alternative uses of space. And it's generally been pretty well received by everybody as a great group and a great initiative from the Auckland Council. Why is it being disbanded then, Phil?
Well, look, first of all, it's a proposal, and it's a proposal that's coming out of management because it's part of management restructuring. And they're trying to do a number of things. Some of their restructuring I'm fully supportive of, you know, reducing the management layers within the council. We've got about 9 management layers. We probably need about 5 or 6, and that's good. And, you know, while our staff is expanding with the, you know, the wider range of population and services that we're providing, we've got to be constrained. But that's not the driver of the Auckland Design Office. From my conversation with the Chief Executive and the Chief of Strategy, who have put forward this proposal, they're saying that the staff would be better embedded in the organisation, so good design principles go right across the organisation rather than being located in one place. Now, that's a valid point of view, but there's an equally valid point of view that says if you disband the unit, parts of the unit would go in block to other sections of council. You know, for example, the design aspect of when a new resource consent applies for consent, you have a design panel that's set up to say, hey, does this meet the standards that we're looking for? So, you know, even on that proposal, you wouldn't be losing the design team or the focus. I'm a bit ambivalent, I've got to say, about it. I think that there is an argument having one unit does allow people to come together to share their creative ideas and then to have an impact across the council.
Certainly, and that seems to be something that urban like designers and planning people have actually come out in support of, is saying that they don't want to see this disbanded for that very reason, that having a unified group is actually a very significant thing.
Yeah, and what I've asked the chief executive to do, because this is in his area of management rather than my area of governance, is to listen carefully to what people are saying. They're doing a consultation process with staff. I've encouraged them to listen to councillors who've got quite strong views on this. Councillors don't make the decision, but they have a valid point of view because they're involved with the outcome of what the Auckland Design Office is doing. And I want to see a thorough process happening before any decision is made, and that's where it's at the moment. So I think, you know, the chief executive and head of strategy will be going through what people are saying to them, consulting with people outside of council as well as inside of council, before that proposal turns into something more concrete.
Well, let's talk very briefly before we let you go, Phil, about something that you and Phil Twyford have announced or sort of launched at the start of the week, which is looking at the Project Auckland report launch. Can you just explain to us briefly what is this Project Auckland report about?
Well, it's really about promoting and celebrating the sheer amount of development and construction that's happening in Auckland that will take us towards being a world-class city. I had a group of people over from New York. We're doing a deal with New York so that they promote Auckland as a destination. We promote New York, and they said, "Whoa, hey, we're just blown away by the sheer amount of development happening in Auckland." And, you know, that's coming from a New Yorker, so, you know, it's hard to impress a New Yorker. But what we want to do, it's about how we're tackling the transport challenge of congestion and carbon emissions, and, you know, more than $30 billion going into that in the council and government's plans in the next 10 years. That's pretty spectacular. It's about building enough houses so we can tackle the housing shortage and unaffordability. It's about improving the quality of our environment, such as the launch of the Central Interceptor that will cut our wastewater overflows by 80%. And one of the themes, I guess, a lot of people say those bloody orange cones, they really piss me off. And I say, well, look, you know, yeah, of course, I get frustrated too when I'm stuck, you know, and that sometimes it's out in the countryside when they're putting in new water pipes and you're waiting, you know, with these specially set up traffic lights and the orange cones for several minutes. But, you know, the other way of looking at an orange cone is, hey, that means that construction is happening and we're making progress. If there weren't any orange cones around the city and we were still growing by 30 to 40,000 people a year, you'd say that'd be nuts. Why aren't we making the changes we need to adapt to the future needs of Auckland? So Project Auckland was big group of people coming together and really positive atmosphere there about what was happening. The last thing I'll just mention, on the same day and as part of Project Auckland in my speech, we're less than a year now from the America's Cup races, the first race between Team New Zealand and whoever the challenger is. And, you know, all of those projects, the infrastructure for those projects have been completed on time and under budget, which was something to celebrate. And we were talking about what a big year next year will be, with everything from, you know, the America's Cup races right through to APEC at the end of the year.
It certainly will be a big year for Auckland. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Rachel.
Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
It certainly